The world. This is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Yes, it is, as we move excitingly into the next stage. It's issue 467, Fly Me to the Moon versus Sheffield United, and in tip-top form with the joyous news that we're only 3 points away, or 4 points away from a playoff position. Rob Nichols.
I didn't think of it that way.
And perfect symmetry. One loss, one win, one draw.
Nice and positive start.
Yes, well, it was an interesting, the first half at least against Ipswich.
Yeah, I know, at half time it was very comfortable. It was exactly as we'd pre-planned it on this podcast, because remember we had an Ipswich fan on, did we not?
Precisely.
Writing his own team off, and all their fans, all 200 or whatever, there wasn't very many of them, looked very bleak. And then the second half was just an unbelievable turnaround.
Exactly. One of those fans, Andy Comfort, of course, being the breakfast show host at BBC Radio Humberside, who unfortunately had a bit of an unfortunate incident when he was coming out of the grounds, actually. He had a few Middlesbrough lads who obviously didn't take kindly to him. So we send our best wishes to Andy. But there we are. It was at least his team won. So positive side of things from that point of view. So we gloss over that side of things because you've been moving out and about. And on this podcast today, we'll be looking at Willie Madron. We'll be looking at the Andy Wilson quiz. We'll be also talking about the connections between John Hickton and the journey to Chesterfield.
Yes.
Which I thought was particularly significant. And of course, really beginning to reflect on the whole notion of, yes, Jason Steele, will he be worth £4 million in a year's time?
Teesside Steele.
Yeah, precisely. Great stuff. We're also joined in the studio by Joe Hudson, who's back again for his second Fly Me to the Moon podcast. Yes. How are you, Joe?
I'm all right, thank you.
Fantastic. And we have, making his debut because he couldn't get around to the last one for various reasons, Johnny Pileski. Welcome, Johnny.
Thank you very much, Alex. Good to be here.
We'll find out about various other things shortly, but let's kick off, Rob, with the notion of Chesterfield. Well, of course, it was a good win. And then, of course, Leicester, where it was a reasonable draw. Some people might say we got away with it at times. There was a goal that Leicester had that was chalked off.
But
Jason Steele was in fiery form.
Yeah, he came in for the Chesterfield game and did so well that Strachan decided to keep him in the team. And he repaired that faith with some really good saves at Leicester. Chesterfield was excellent to finally get a win. And a goal.
Another goal.
Scott McDonald again. And yeah, obviously we were 2-0 ahead and we were quite comfortable, but it didn't tell us a great deal because it was such a changed side with most of the team being away on international duty, it seemed. So that was unfortunate, really, because I think those players could have done with that extra game. But the players that came in, like Jason Steele, did extremely well. And another one would be Josh Walker, who's probably put himself... He's come back from nowhere. And the fact that we've... the day we're doing this podcast, that we've just heard that Gary O'Neill is probably injured again. He's got like runner's knee, he said. Means that we need all the midfield cover we can get, because we've obviously that's another downside.
Willow, clearly just a will o' the wisp, really.
What a shame.
Gone completely. And, as you rightly said...
And Kevin Thompson.
Exactly.
Yeah, on his second game. So that's obviously a key area, and it's an area that we lost out in badly against Ipswich. And I would say that it was a bit of a battleground against Leicester, and we definitely looked a lot better when Gary O'Neill came in. That he gives that sort of that pace in through the middle.
And what a treat that against Chesterfield, the reward is a trip down to those wonderful folk at the New Den.
Oh, that's right. It is. It's a treat.
I was thinking when the draw was made, I thought, I could see Rob thinking, that's a real treat.
Yeah.
Exactly. We can look forward to fun times there. Not just once, not twice, but at least three guaranteed games against Millwall this season.
Oh, that's right, yes. Exactly. Fantastic. Yes.
Fantastic stuff. Okay, Joe, were you disappointed with the Ipswich game?
I was. Because I was listening to the first half and scored the goal, and I thought, well, it could go on for me.
Exactly. We had positive words and commentary from Kevin Thompson. He was he was being feted, and of course Julio Arca came back and supplied the sort of nod on for the first goal.
He did, yeah.
And then of course half time came, and what a pity.
Yeah. Something went wrong. Yeah.
Exactly. But let's be positive, because clearly the Scotsman lost out against the Irishman. Let's hope he can fare better against the Welsh chap.
Yes.
Faced with. So we'll talk about that as well.
Speed.
Precisely. Yeah, Gary, of course, who was a contemporary of Gordon Strachan's at the Elland Road side, I think.
Yeah, because Gary Speed was at Leeds for so long, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he was there with the... Yes, they both won a title together, didn't they?
Very much so. So one of the articles in the Fly Me to the Moon Sheffield United production is Chris Bartley writing that the price is wrong. And despite the fact that the Borough Pride Initiative has been carried on for the 2010-2011 season, now you've got slight changes. There's a Category A, Category B matchday price structuring system brought in. I just want to bring in Johnny Pulleski, because, Johnny, you've been to Middlesbrough. You used to have a season ticket. Why have you lost the faith?
Well, I mean, I was very happy with when I got my season ticket, because it was, as I say, it was £95.
Would you like to just move the microphone slightly towards yourself? Because otherwise it sounds as though, you know, not only are you barred from Middlesbrough Riverside, you know, you're barred from the studio as well. Anyway.
I had the season ticket, and it was £95 for a season, which to be honest, I wasn't going to sniff at. And I enjoyed the Premier League games, but obviously the next season, when it was Championship games, it was an extra £100 on top of that. And I thought,
is that because you'd got older? You know, 95.
Yeah.
So you moved into another category.
Yeah. And
it's a big step up then.
Yeah, for me.
Mm. He's just an undergraduate. You know, he's got to spend money on booze and various other bits and pieces. I mean, come on now, Rob.
But I mean, as I say, it was an extra £100 for me, and it was the next league low. I mean, some people do say. I mean, I don't know if you found this. Some people do say the Championship can have better games than the Premier League, whether it's more sort of tactical or whether it's sort of, I don't know. But preferably, I would have liked them to stay in the Premier League, and I probably would have renewed if we stayed in the Premier League, even though it was an extra £100. But
Johnny, your club needs you even more now to actually get back to the Premier League.
I've never called myself a loyal fan like to the end, like some people do, because I have to be honest with you, I'm not.
Mm. Yeah, but see, Pulleski, it's obviously the Italian background coming across. Yeah, I'm not going to say anything from that point of view. There's a whole range of things there. Seriously, though, Rob, in terms of how do we attract those missing fans? Because it is something which is echoing that, you know, clearly we're looking for a good start, and it may well start tomorrow, of course, the Sheffield United package, but it's so essential.
Yeah, well, we've had three seasons where we just keep losing all the time. Mm. It's not going to be attracting anyone to come. And I think that's probably the biggest. You were saying about that it could be better in the Championship. Well, obviously, it can be better in the Championship than a team that's relegated in the Premiership that loses every single game. If you actually see a lot of victories and you get a good atmosphere and everything from that, that's really good. I think the Borough Pride Initiative. It's interesting because Chris Bartley mentions that it was free to get Borough Pride card during last season, but this season it's £10 as it was originally. I don't know. I don't think £10 is too bad, because you get £2 off a match. So I think that's the way to get people like Johnny back personally, because after obviously £2 a match costs £10 in, after five matches you're still saving your £2 a match. Yeah. So that's the, and it's having some sort of card also. It still means you feel part of things.
Yes, definitely.
You get discounts in places. You get preferential treatment for tickets and stuff.
Yep.
So I think that is the key one. The category matches I don't like. I always hated. Don't see why you should pay more to see one team than another. Mm. But apparently they get a lot of money from the fact that the categories are for the whole ground. They get a lot of money from the away fans. Like,
clearly on that basis, you know, Millwall is going to be a category Class A high security match.
Yeah. Yes.
Just a thought there. We're going to have a slight change in terms of the question, in terms of our letter of the week, because Mark Coupe, wonderful chap, I feel it was, again, not quite hitting the mark really this week.
He's on his own, isn't he?
Well, he is. He's on his own. But Andy Wilson has set up a quiz of the week, and I'm going to actually ask Joe here I'm going to ask you to throw a couple of these questions to Johnny and just see how much of a Borough fan he actually is. So here we are.
Just to test the loyalty.
Take us round to the first little break here. The first question from Andy Wilson is...
Who was the first player to be sent off at Ayresom Park?
There you are. Who was the first player to be sent off at Ayresom Park? Johnny, you don't have to answer straight away. You can come back to us in about 2 minutes from now.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and a high quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides a perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential, elderly EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 308 188.
Pharma Nord is the chemist to call for your nutritional needs. All of our products have been built on scientific research to help with your health. Pharma Nord can even help in such areas as senile dementia, strokes, and Alzheimer's. All our products are made in accordance with pharmaceutical standards and guidelines. And all our products are just one call away. Call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989. That's 01670 519989. Or visit pharmanord.co.uk. Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
When you're living with cancer, the good days really matter. The day you get some answers about your treatment or about benefits, or whatever's on your mind. You can take the first step towards more good days by calling Macmillan Cancer Support. Call 0808 808 000 or visit macmillan.org.uk.
If an insurance company representative knocks at your door and tries to get you to accept a cheque following a motor accident, what should you do? Let's ask Charles Ather.
What you should do is be very suspicious. If they're offering payment before you've even made a claim, then I believe they must think your claim is worth far more. Whatever you do, don't sign away your rights.
So if you're approached in this way,
remember, you have a right to choose your own solicitor and get a proper assessment of your claim.
Call Middlesbrough 222-575 or text ADVICE to 81400 now. Choose the one.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
Yes, bursting out there in its own inimitable way. It is, in fact, it's technically volume two of our season-long podcast scenario, but it all fits into place, basically.
It does.
Issue 467, that's the important side of things. The question was, Joe?
Who was the first player to be sent off at Ayresome Park?
And the answer...
I've given some long thought, Alex, and I don't know.
No. Well, who would have thought in the 1914-15 season, of course, the start of the Great War, Andy Wilson would have triggered off. I mean, most people think that the First World War was kicked off by the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. No, I think it was Andy Wilson being sent off at Ayresome Park, butterfly's wings.
That must be really rare, somebody being sent off back then.
Well, precisely.
The earliest I knew was in the 30s, Bob Cumming, the goalkeeper, who punched somebody, knocked them out, and sent himself off. Before the referee, you know, he knew straight away.
These are quite tough questions. They're challenging, Andy, I think. Very challenging. I mean, the line which I thought was particularly interesting was Clayton Blackmore was best man for which former Bayern Munich player? And, of course, it was...
Could have been which present Fulham manager.
Precisely, exactly. Ex-Blackburn Rovers, Mark Hughes, of course. Fantastic stuff there. And, lovely, lovely. Is that going to be a regular feature, then?
As long as Andy keeps sending the questions.
Exactly. Yes. Well, we might do that. We may go back to the editor's letter next time round. We might give Mark a little line. Andrew Glover and Stanis Stern. Almost opposite ends of the spectrum, really. One in Teesside, one in Afghanistan.
Yep.
One very positive, one... you just don't know where he's actually coming from.
And which
from.
Way around is it?
It's a tough call, isn't
yes.
it? Really? It's a tough call. I mean, if I give a quote from one of these authors, so after spending the day being chased around the green zone by some loon with an AK-47 who looked a lot like a Geordie in that he was able to drag his knuckles and run at the same time, I headed in expecting to see Borough's first 3 points of the season. But lo and behold, home defeat. Did he feel the need to actually have an urgent rant at Al Brownlee? Or a strongly worded letter to the Gazette? No, he just laughed and carried on as normal. He was just happy that he was able to check the results, as not everyone comes in from the patrols. Mm. On the flip side of that, we have Andrew Glover, who hasn't, I believe, actually gone on patrol as yet.
Oh, yes.
His, I feel frustrated at full time. I felt frustrated at full time of our third game in a week. It didn't feel like we had made much progress, however good the point may turn out to be. The jury remains out on all of the summer signings, although, of course, it is very early days. I'm remaining patient until September at least. Patience will no doubt be in short measure this afternoon. It's almost frightening how quickly pressure can build. And this from the man who once supported Gordon Strachan.
He's not saying it's his own view. He's just saying what the crowd. But Andrew's had some good news because he's just got in at he's doing journalism course and he's got a job. Well, hopefully got a job at the Journal in Newcastle when that course concludes.
Well, as always, we congratulate him, even though we never see him. We still congratulate him. That's the important setup. So the trek to Chesterfield and the pilgrimage to John Hickton's birthplace. We need to actually test our younger co-presenters today on this one, Rob. John Hickton, do those names mean anything, Johnny Pileski?
It rings a bell, but I couldn't tell you what he is.
Rings a bell.
Oh, that is terrible.
Joe? I'm going to have to say the same as Johnny, actually.
I actually once buttonholed this man in the Cleveland Centre when it was the Cleveland Centre. It was there,
yeah.
And Big John was actually walking, and I got his autograph. Yes, I was in. It was the championship season, and I was there, and I got my brochure, and I made sure that he would sign that autograph.
He's part of our heritage. You need to know that this fella, John Hickton, was
John Hickton. Yeah. The chalk and cheese, basically. Dempsey and Makepeace. Yes. Steed and Emma Peel.
He was the hero of everybody in Teesside, really. Mm. If anyone was playing football match...
Big John Hickton.
Big John Hickton. Everyone would pretend to be John Hickton because he was fantastic.
One or two people I recall, Rob, wanted to be Kevin Keegan, but I thought this is very strange.
And Jim Platt.
Well, exactly.
Pringle. But... I just noticed on the map when I was just looking for the directions to Chesterfield's new ground that just a few miles from Chesterfield's new ground you are taken through a village, a village of Brimington, which is the home of John Hickton, which it was always written in the programme, you know, where place of birth, etc. And it was Brimington. And I remember sometimes in programmes from away matches, they'd misread it and have John Hickton as coming from Birmingham.
Yeah.
Now talk about chalk and cheese.
Dyslexic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dyslexic programme makers. Never happen these days.
Never. It would never happen.
Exactly. Well, there'd be help for that. And on your way to the B2 Net station or stadium, it was nice to know that you actually flagged that up for some of the younger people who are accompanying you on the journey.
Really. I did, that's right. I was going there with Mr. Henry Carden, who used to be in a band called Darts, who were quite famous, actually. But he didn't know. He knew John Hickton, but it didn't really mean much to him. But so I made him stop, and I borrowed his camera and took a photograph of the sign.
Quite right too. Mm. And you've been hanging out with the Match of the Day crowd as well.
Oh yeah,
Alan Hansen.
It was in South Africa I met Paul Armstrong at both these matches. He's the editor of Match of the Day. He's a Borough fan. Mm. He subscribes to Fly Me to the Moon. And he's the voice in the ear when they've got their earpieces on Match of the Day.
Hansen, you're talking nonsense.
Yeah, Hansen, wind it up.
It's a disgrace. Schoolboy era there, Alan. Schoolboy era.
Yeah, absolutely. Naive.
Yeah, precisely. Great stuff. So at least the journeys were there. Looking back over both those games, Leicester and Chesterfield, fair results, do you feel?
Yes. Chesterfield came back strongly at the end, but I thought we were totally dominant in the first half. You can see that on telly, I'm sure. The Leicester game, it was quite even. They were the home team. You'd expect them to be more on top than us than they were, really. Mm. They did dominate parts of the match. We had to ride our luck. But in the end, I think neither team really deserved to score. I know that they had a disallowed goal, but there wasn't much made of it, actually, live. You know it's one of those ones where it's just happened in a flash, and then you look at it afterwards and think, oh, yeah, it was a goal.
The Neely Years featuring Stu Mack, of course. I do like this series. Probably I'm on a nostalgia trip there because obviously we have a range of fine folk who are featured there, including, of course, Willie Madron. And I can't believe it's a decade since Willie was sadly headed up to the great Ayresome Park Riverside Stadium in the sky. Yeah. Although we would normally promote another radio station on, obviously, Southside Broadcasting. Yeah. In this case, we're more than happy to do so. Real Radio is the station in question, and it's doing a wonderful 10th anniversary special with, obviously, Hilary Madron, Jack Charlton, Stuart Boehm, Gary Pallister. Rob, share with us. I mean, Willie was very much... I felt unlucky not to get, you know, a whole tranche of England caps. I mean, obviously, we had Roy McFarlane, Dave Watson and company at the time, basically.
Yeah, Colin Todd, Bobby Moore, actually. Yeah. We probably had our best centre-halves, arguably the best crop of centre-halves that we've ever had. Norman Hunter, you could add that to. You know, there was an incredible list of really classy international centre-backs. Mm-hmm. And Willie Madron did actually get into a squad, but he had that appalling injury to his knee. Mm. It was a bit like McGrath in later years, yeah. where as he progressed in his career, Willie couldn't train. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, Willie had to quit at the age of 26. The incredible thing about Willie Madden was that he just... You took it for granted he would never make a mistake in a match, because he didn't. He was absolutely flawless. And for me, I would put him above Pallister as our greatest sort of ball playing centre back. Yeah. He also scored a load of goals when we played him up front.
He did, yes. So I hope all goes well with that. And you can listen to Real Radio 102, 102, 100 to 102 FM, 8 p.m. on Monday, the 30th of August. Or presumably they'll be online for a certain period of time.
I think so. And the lad who's put it all together is Adam Lindsay, who's a big Borough fan himself. So it was... He thought it was fantastic to be able to go around and speak to a lot of legend, mm-hmm. and a few fans as well. He wanted to balance it up.
That's right, without being asked for appearance fees, which makes a change, I suppose, in these Premiership days.
But yes.
They think it's all over. It is now, of course, Kenneth Wolstenholme. Or if we were doing a full Kenneth Wolstenholme shoot commentary, we'd now have a 10-second pause. Because you'd just let the thing happen, wouldn't you, really? That's Kenneth Wolstenholme at his best in many
absolutely.
Ways. See how the things goes. But Ken, if you're listening from Heaven FM, we hope you appreciate that. It's made in full solid warmth and affection for your good self. But this World Cup 1966 commentary book, autographed by Kenneth Wolstenholme, is being sold at the Martin Hotel and Country Club in Middlesbrough, or it's auctioned at the Martin Hotel and Country Club in Middlesbrough Thursday, August the 26th at 1 p.m. Lots of things happening in terms of nostalgia. It's not what it used to be, is it?
It's not what it used to be. No, that's a special autograph. There's, and you can actually go and view all the autographs for free. I think the big thing about that, the Kenneth Wolstenholme autograph, is he's actually written "They Think It's All Over" and then signed his name. And it's next to autographs of various...
Bobby Charlton, 1966. Nobby Stiles, Martin Peters, Gordon Banks, and, of course, hat-trick hero Sir Geoff Hurst. Fantastic stuff there. And... the Samantha Dernan Band. Have you heard of them, Joe?
It rings a bell.
Oh, right. Oh, oh.
Yes. Johnny? Too busy with your computers at Teesside University.
I'm usually quite diverse in music, Alex, but not this time.
An acoustic singer-songwriter from Teesside. Tell us more, Rob.
She's only a teenager, actually, so you might not have heard of her.
Well, they're all old folks, aren't they?
she's only beginning, really. But she's really, really talented. She plays all her own stuff. And I've not seen her before with a band. She's quite sort of she's a really good performer. I've only ever seen her in her own right, so be interesting to see. She's making a bit of a name for herself. It's quite amazing. I went to a gig this week, and on Tuesday in Middlesbrough, and there's a whole crop of young singer-songwriters, usually female, from this area that are really confident, and I would put Samantha right at the top of them.
As we have had a slightly disappointing response to our last request for listeners to fly to the moon, the bottom line is this is the kind of podcast general promo we've had so far.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
Which is brief and to the point, but and it keeps that sort of gender scenario going. But I still think you can do better. I think Samantha Dernan can do better. I think we should actually be putting this out as another challenge to the Riverside Rocks people.
Yeah,
to
good
maybe
point.
Do some 20, 30 second promos for the Fly Me to the Moon podcast.
Now that is a good idea.
Well, just doing that. I like to have one every show, Rob. it's like a little feature. It's a good idea to actually work through from that point of view. Joe, what do you think about Sheffield United tomorrow? Do you think it's going to be an easy peasy 3-0?
Maybe because of the disruption of Kevin Blackwell leaving, it might be a bit easier than it could have been. Mm. But I still think we're going to be pushed to.
Of course, it's also on TV. Mm. Same way as last season was on TV.
I know it's amazing. It's obviously just a couple of weeks within 12 months. It was the season opener, wasn't it? Yep. It was on a Friday night. It was really warm, and it was
and
a 0-0 draw.
Our very first Fly Me to the Moon podcast.
Really?
It was the Sheffield United. That was
of course.
Yeah. Almost the anniversary, really.
Yes.
Fantastic.
I'm welling up now inside.
It is quite emotional, Johnny. I mean, clearly you might not be there in person, but what's your thought?
I'm optimistic.
You're optimistic.
I'm optimistic. Yeah, I think they could put up a good fight, Borough. Well, as I said, put up a good fight.
Let's hope that Sheffield do not sort of take Jason Steele to town at all.
Sheffield Steele.
Yes, exactly. Assuming he's actually playing, because one never quite knows with Gordon, really. He has his ways, really.
No, Danny will be wanting a recall, wasn't he, of course?
Danny Coyne. And we have to mention, even though it isn't in the programme, it's not bad having $2 million or so pocket money for Brad Jones, really, is it?
No, absolutely.
It offsets the agent's fees that they've been paying, I find.
That's right.
You know, you've got $1.5 million agent fees, $2 million coming in from Brad Jones. So it all connects together from that. How do people subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon?
It's funny you should ask that. It's a good question.
I thought so.
Yes. You can write to me at Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Brentnell Street, Middlesbrough, TS1 5AP. And it's £42 for the season. I'll throw in the back issues now. Or you can email at robshrug@googlemail.com. Or look at on the website, there's somewhere to subscribe, which is fmttm.com.
And the fact of the matter is, the podcasts, though we love to produce them as mini digests, little historical artefacts of the whole events and so on, although last season's podcasts have vanished.
Oh.
Yeah. That's all right. I mean, we'll rescue them somewhere, shape, or form, but they have vanished. This season's podcast will remain solid and constant. That's the important thing. Ultimately, it's a bit like having the aperitif without the full main course. If you want the main course, you need to get hold of one of these magazines.
Yes. Mm.
Exactly.
Can hear them.
Exactly. It's like
exciting sounds.
It's like seeing the highlights and just a couple of sort of snippets of the whole thing without having the whole experience. So it's worth sort of accessing from that point of view. Which brings us to the end of the Sheffield United Fly Me to the Moon package. Of course, coming up, the really exciting thing, two games in quick succession in September.
Yeah, that's right. I'm excited.
I'm sure you'll be looking forward to, because we're already planning on the notion of Burnley on the 14th of September and Reading on the 18th.
That's right.
So who knows when the next podcast will come out. It'll be before one of them, or it might be another double whammy, which is fantastic stuff. But keeping to the traditional line, and I think Joe should hopefully be au fait with this, so he'll be able to actually join in with Johnny Pulaski as well in this final sequence of saying happy trails and keep on going and keep battling through till the end of the day and so on and so forth. So over to you, Rob Nichols and Johnny and Joe.
Come on, Borough. Up the Borough.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.